This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I think I hope for all of us here that Shedeur Sanders just gets drafted soon. So that the hijacking of the entire NFL draft doesn't have to continue as we await with bated breath where he's going. You know, listen, I was talking about it this morning. Do I think the Jets maybe take a swing? I don't. I wouldn't. I think some of you disagree with that. I mean, if he drops into round three, which I don't think he will, I mean, then maybe I would even be okay with the Jets doing it. But I think this is, last night's the night that I think shaped the identity for the Jets and the Giants, as I've said. The Jets' new identity is a young, aggressive, nasty, dirty, strong offensive line that's going to start getting tough yards and going to start creating a much more competitive template, if you will, where it won't be three and out, three and out, three and out, defense always on the field, three and out, defense out there for 12 minutes, three and out, maybe one first down punt. You know, like, you just can't win that way. So I love what they did. I love what they did. Curious what they do here. Still a couple of good tight ends out there that are pretty highly rated. Let's see. They, you know, I wanted an O-line, tight end, receiver. You could use a receiver as well. Where the Giants coming in, I think we all knew Abdul Carter was going to be there, and he's going to be an absolute horse, monster. And quarterback was on that list as well. But I also think the Giants need something on their right side. So it's far from complete, but then I think the Giants' identity is now taking shape. And that is, even if they could just muster up enough offense just to get some leads early. I don't mean 17-0, just 7-3, even 3-0. Just to take a little lead here and there. And I think you're going to see a giant front that is just disrupting and blowing up plays left and right. And that includes Kayvon Thibodeau for me, who I'm not even high on. But I just think that, I mean, all you had to do is, you don't even have to know football. Just watch the Giants twice or once last year. And it's so easy to pick out what their issue was. Like, they couldn't stop the run. So if you can't stop the run, first and 10 from the Commanders 25, here's 6 yards off left tackle, it'll be second and 4. You know, when that happens all the time, or here's a 7-yard burst, third and 2, second and 3. You know, when you can't stop the run early, your pass rush can't flourish because it's always going to be short down and distances. I think you see a difference this year. And I think you're going to like what you see from this Giants defense. And then if, you know, the quarterback, who I don't think is going to get on the field this year, but, like, if he does late and he proves to be like, woof, they crushed it. I mean, last night, I don't think it will because I don't think he's going to play much this year. And I'm not entirely sold on him. But I like him, but I'm not sold. But if he's what they think and hope he is, last night's an historic night for the Giants. Historic. All-time franchise altering. Got the Volpe stuff, so obviously a lot of draft talk as well. Let's get back to you here. 888-808-1019. John is in Huntington. John, what are you?
Hey.
What's up, John?
Hey, BC.
Hey, bud.
So, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I think it was pretty obvious with the Giants that they only viewed Cam Ward as worthy as a top three pick, and that at three, they were guaranteed to get one of the two consensus top two players in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So then they wanted to get one of, they still needed the quarterback, so they were looking for a veteran for him to tutor him. Well, not necessarily mentor him, but for him to learn under while he's sick.
Yep.
And Rodgers, Stafford, Wilson, they all have a couple things in common. They're older near the end of their careers, but are all either Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers. So who better to learn under?
All right, but hold on a sec, John. Let me stop you because I'm with you, but then there's something that just caught my ear. So let's say the Giants would have gotten Stafford, which they really wanted. They wanted the money, the years, good. Here you go. We want you. If they got Stafford, do you think they do what they did last night with the quarterback spot? I don't.
Stafford is the one that's a little bit of a...
Well, yeah, question. But that's the guy that they wanted the most.
I think if they got him, maybe they don't.
They
maybe
definitely
they
don't.
Maybe they take Dart if he falls to them in the second.
Well, that's my point, after. John. That's my point. It's not Dart the player, and it's not even that the Giants were aggressive. I love the fact that they took a swing. We were begging them to do it. But I'm going to ask the question again. If they would have secured Stafford, who they... I don't know that they really wanted Rodgers. I don't know that they really wanted Cam Ward. I mean, that may have been a little desperation. I know they really wanted Matthew Stafford. They wanted him more than anybody. If they get Stafford, you are not drafting Jackson Dart by moving up in the first round to get him. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. Because he's not playing this year, and he's not playing next year. Because Stafford still has juice. And if that's the case, I'm not allowed to question just how all in they are on Dart. Now, they made a big move, so it seems like they're all in. I get that. But to what degree do they believe in him? I think my answer to that is a little lower than some Giant fans. And that's okay. We don't have the answer today. That's fine. That's all right. Let me get Dan Toms River. Dan, BT and Sal, what's going on, Dan?
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to weigh in on the Anthony Volpe conversation. Couple points. First, and not that you do this, but I read it in other spots. Can we please stop once and for all comparing Anthony Volpe to Derek Jeter because he broke in at about the same age? He's a kid from New Jersey. He grew up a Yankee fan. I mean, the product on the field, Volpe is not even close to Jeter. That always just sticks in my craw.
I don't do that, but I got you. Okay.
No, I know you don't. I'm just saying, like when you follow some of these Yankee fan pages, it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Now, all right. So that's number one. And number two, I think the problem goes back to your favorite general manager and mine, Brian Cashman. And I think it goes back to signing trading for Giancarlo Stanton. I think that has hamstrung them. See, if it were me, I would have held off that offseason 17 into 18, or would have been 18 into 19, and I would have thrown the big money at Bryce Harper. Now, if you do that, I mean, you're probably going to be stuck because that's a lot of money, so maybe we still see Volpe at the shortstop position.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say they don't. Let's say there's no Stanton, there's no Harper, nothing. Then fast forward a few off seasons, you know, later, maybe you can make a push for somebody like a Corey Seager. And then who knows, then maybe you can use Anthony Volpe as a trade piece for a stud pitcher like Luis Castillo, and you're in much better shape to go at it with, you know, the high run.
Right, but hold on now, hold on a sec, Dan, let me stop you here. If we're sitting here wondering about the ceiling for Anthony Volpe, why the hell would anybody else want him?
Well, because the Yankees do a good job of making it sound like all their prospects are the second coming.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks for the call there, Dan. Maybe if Volpe was still in the minors, but unless every other executive is an idiot, they've seen him play at the major league level, you know? I'm not saying Volpe's valueless, but he needs to get his act together, and I am definitely worried. So, and I don't engage in this. Maybe when he was first drafted, it was an easy, you know, comparison here with Jeter. Derek Jeter, all right, at the age of 20. So, when he was 20, he went literally through the entire system. High A, double A, triple A. Here's what he hit. High A, 329. Low A, double A, 377. And then in 35 games, about 130 at-bats at the triple A level, back when triple A used to be more viable. Now it's double A, as many of you probably know, hit 349. So, 329, 377, 349 in 1 year. And then the next year, at the age of 25, he plays 120-plus games with the Columbus Clippers and hits 317. I mean, so, yeah, I know he booted the... What do you have, 40, 50 errors, I think, at Greensboro? Early, we know that story. But he always hit outside. You know, he didn't hit his first year. I think he hit like 202. He was calling his daddy. I don't know if I can make it. He was 18 years old. You know, now the sixth overall pick, the pressure of the world on his shoulders. Yankees weren't good. They were looking at him as the savior. And this poor, you know, young man from Kalamazoo, Michigan, in the middle of nowhere, is now, even though he's playing in the middle of nowhere down in the minors, I mean, he's got this intense pressure, and he's got a wooden bat, and he's not hitting. And he didn't know if he could do it. So I'm not making it seem like he hit 350 the moment he showed up as an 18-year-old. But pretty quickly thereafter he did, you know. Let me get Blake out in Dallas, Texas. Blake, BT, and Sal. What's cooking, bud?
What's up, BT? How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good, good. Now, I want to talk about the Giant draft. So, you know, I think as a Giant fan, you got to feel a little bit better about your team, hopefully, today than you did yesterday. But like you said, man, I like what you said. You said, you know, if they hit, this could be a historic night for them. And, you know, as a Giant fan, that's all you hope for, man. You just hope that it works out. The draft, you know, you just never know what these guys are going to become if they fit in the system. Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that Dable likes the guy, right? You know yes. Dable likes him. So hopefully yeah. Dable sees something out of him. He can bring the best out of him.
Yep.
You know. And
yep. See and Blake, I mean, Blake real quick. Right Blake, guy, I was going to say real quick on that point, Blake, because I'm sure most Giant fans know this, but if you don't, this is interesting. So Dable wanted him, and obviously Shane wanted Sanders.
Yeah.
Imagine how we would feel about this, like if the story came out where the head coach, who's an offensive guy, didn't get the quarterback that he wanted, but the general manager did. Like, at least this feels like it's the right path to possibly working.
I agree. I was more of a Sanders guy, too. I like Sanders' pedigree. I thought he'd be good for New York. You know, two of my brothers wanted Dart. And when I found out that, because I didn't know that Dable wanted Dart, uh-huh. I said, well, the rule of thumb, man, if your coach is telling you, you got to go with the coach's guy. I mean, he's going to be the one coaching him. He's going to be the one working with him.
Yep.
And I thought the rule of thumb, I thought the right decision was go with the guy that Dable wants. And, you know, you see what happens, man. Hopefully they can turn it around, man. I just want to watch some football that's good, exciting. Get some. I don't expect them to be good right away. The kid may not even hit the field this year. But, you know, I mean, I'm excited about the kid Carter, though, man. I mean, if we could get after the quarterback and challenge the other team's offense, I mean, that's a whole other part of the game. So if we could at least get good on that side of the ball, at least we'll have some interesting stuff
I think it'd be better than good, Blake. Thanks for the call. I think the Giants' defense is very quickly going to become great. I really do. At least the front seven. And I like some components of the secondary, too. But that defensive line, dude. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's a common refrain like, hey, we just want to watch competitive football. Jeez. And it's true. We're not asking for much. But this is the first time, like, I feel where I'm not trying to convince myself or, you know, because even when I missed wildly on something, I don't lie to you. Unfortunately, I may have had a very erroneous thought at the time that I said it and may have missed the mark by a mile, but that's genuinely and sincerely what I believed when I said it. So I don't just say things to, like, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. But there have been times in the past where I, like, tried to convince my, maybe I've ignored the negatives with the Jets and the Giants, and I've kind of popped on the positives because I'm just so, like you, desperate to watch competitive football. I mean, I know it hasn't been 20 years, almost, it's 14 without the playoffs. I feel like I've been watching 20 years of, and Jet fans, you'll feel, and Giant fans too, but Jet fans will feel me more on this than Giant fans. I feel like the Jet game starts, the other team gets the ball, they have a 9-minute drive, they score, the Jets get the ball, three and out, punt, you look up, and before you know it, there's 5 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the second quarter. You're like, I've watched a quarter and a half of football, and I haven't seen a damn thing happen. I that's ending. I think that's really end. And I know that that's afflicted the Giants a little bit as well. Over the years, you know, post Eli, but it's been more pronounced with the Jets. And you know, I just feel like we're entering a good football phase. Mike's in Fairfield. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, BT, good afternoon. Hope all is well.
All is good, Mike. What's going on, dude?
Good. With your Jets GM hat on,
yes.
Would you take Cole Kmet for Breece Hall?
Oh boy, that's an
I read this on the internet, so I can't take credit for it, but that's okay. It was super intriguing.
Yeah. You know what? I would. Because I'm not paying Breece Hall. And I did you hear yesterday's show? I brought this up. I talked a lot about potentially trading Breece. Did you hear it or no, Mike?
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, parts of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason I would do this, number one, the Jets have a very good, cheap, young, dynamic, and deep running back room. So you don't need Breece. Okay. You're not going to pay him after this year. I'm not. And, you know, the carries, and I know they're going to look to run the ball a lot, but a couple of years ago, Justin Fields ran the ball 166 times. Aaron Rodgers ran a 22 last year. So if you get like 50 or 55 or 60 offensive snaps, I think the Jets will look to go 50-50-ish. And I think that you're getting 10 or 11 carries a week from Justin Fields. So you don't even really need Breece Hall. I would do the trade.
Yeah, I agree. His window closed with the Jets, in my opinion. That's not a bad thing for the Jets or him. I think he can be successful somewhere else.
Yep.
And I think in Chicago, it might be a good chance. New coach, maybe looking to change things up and
thank you, buddy. And Mikey, they just got their tight end last night, as you know. They just got their tight end. Not the tight end we thought was going to go first. You know, we thought Warren was going to go first. He didn't. He went, 14 or 15 to the Colts? Let me get Chris up in Rochester. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's going on today? Excuse me.
Yep.
So I'm going to drive you a little crazy with what I'm going to say about Volpe. So you know who's ready to come up? DJ LeMahieu, and I guarantee you the Yankees are going to force him into the lineup and then do something with Volpe, which will drive me crazy.
Hold on. But who's playing shortstop? DJ LeMahieu's a fire hydrant. He can't move an inch. And he's not a shortstop.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying, don't put him at third base and then try somebody else's shortstop, like Oswaldo Cabrera or something.
I don't think they'll do that, Chris. Yeah, you're right. It would drive me crazy, but I think DJ's done.
I'm kind of just joking.
All right.
Because the Yankees, you just leave your head scratching, sometimes with some of the stuff they do.
Well, I mean, sometimes. But, I mean, you can say that about every team. The Yankees, by the way, are still in first place. And the Yankees, by the way, were in the World Series last year. Now, the Yankees are far from perfect here, but, I mean, the Yankees are going to be a playoff team again. And for all these flaws that we always, pick apart, which are real, I don't think we're making this up. I think with the Yankees, we sometimes gloss over the good. Now, part of that is because so much of the good literally comes from one dude. And you can't get on the air and just, wax poetic about Aaron Judge for 4 hours. Here's what I think needs to happen. The spotlight's on Bellinger. And obviously Jazz and Volpe. I mean, they just got a couple guys that got to wake up. That situation, what day was that? Today's Friday. I guess that would have been Wednesday when me and Sal were watching both games. Yeah, it was Wednesday, right? Hoffs, Wednesday. That sequence when the Yankees had second and third and nobody out. Strike one, strike two, strike three, next hitter. Strike one, strike two, strike three, next hitter. Strike one, ball one, strike two, strike three, out. I'm watching this live, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And, not just to lay it on thick and try to sound like a nutball on the air because it's going to get clicks. That bothered me because that is the characteristic, in my opinion, that has prevented the Yankees from winning a World Series. Really situational hitting. Empty at bats. And no, I don't think that they're better than the Dodgers anyway. But, previous years, post-2009, all the empty at bats, just strikeout machines, and I'm not saying you got to drop down three sacrifice bunts a game here. I'm not saying they got to get like Manny Trio, or Larry Boa, or Bucky Dent up there. I mean, but good God, can he get a sacrifice fly? Bellinger's the guy. I do think he's. I mean, listen, he's a good player, and he looks so good in the outfield. So I think they're going to look better. And more circular, that lineup, meaning there's just less of an obvious stop point at some point. And I think there's been some flashes from Dominguez. I'm kind of liking some stuff that I'm seeing from him. But they're going to need a third baseman, and they're going to need Volpe to get his act together. Because think about the shortstop right now and the current third baseman. Is that a World Series champion left side? I don't have to answer the question. We know the answer. All right, 888-808-1019. Dove, any reads here, or is that next, sir?
Next break.
And we found out earlier Dove is a big gin and juice guy. He was. Would you like to?
Well, gin rummy.
Yeah.
Drinking cranberry juice.
But you did sing it. You did sing a little gin and juice.
But you asked me to.
Well, can you do it again for those who missed it?
I don't remember the tune now.
Sipping on gin and juice.
Sipping on gin and juice.
I did love it. Oh, God. Let's get right back to you. All the topics, Jets and Giants, draft, Yanks and Mets. Obviously, a lot of different issues. Knicks last night, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Brooklyn. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, BT, how's everything going, buddy?
Good, dude. Feeling good. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with you about this whole Volpe situation. It's like, this is a rookie who's been called up, had one decent year, a mediocre year, and not looking too great this year. I mean, the whole analogy of him being Derek Jeter, I mean, I wish he was Bucky Dent or Roy Smalley or even Randy Velarde.
Roy Smalley.
I mean, come on, dude.
That's a name for you.
I mean, this. Roy Smalley. I mean, you know what I'm saying here. It's like all of a sudden he's a Hall of Famer. Dude, he's not.
No.
He's not even the best shortstop on the team. Peraza's the best shortstop. That's another guy who's been Andujar'd. Like, Pablo Reyes probably has more at bats than him.
He's dropping names after
you know
name
what?
Here.
The Yankees are not going to. The Yankees are not going to give this guy a long term contract at the rate he's playing. Between him and Chisholm, I mean, Lombard is lurking in the weeds right now, and so is Roderick Arias. You're talking about two guys. Maybe Volpe could go to second base, maybe in the future, because if Chisholm keeps playing like this, he's going to play himself off this team with that 150. I was watching that game with you, and I was listening to you and watching the game on TV because I was at work, dude. And let me tell you something. When Chisholm swung at that pitch in the right-handed side of the batter's box, you can imagine what was coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And then Volpe swinging for the fences with two strikes. We cannot get a productive out here?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, bro. You're a major leaguer. I mean, it's a little pathetic. You know what? And Volpe better – how come Volpe can't sit on the bench? You're going to tell me Peraza can't play shortstop for a couple of games to make this kid clear his head or do something?
No, he could. Mike, good call. I love the passion. Roy Smalley. By the way, I just love the Roy Smalley style. I remember seeing him when I was a kid. I remember with a baseball card or something as a twin, but I remember actually watching him play for the Yankees for a minute. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, so in 83, he had 18 home runs, 62 RBIs, and he had an OPS of 810, and he hit 275. I'd take that from Volpe right now. The thing about Peraza, I had a conversation with somebody about him, okay? And I asked him straight up, I said, this is before the season. I said, when I found out he made the team, I said, what is the deal with Peraza? Is he ever going to, can he hit? Because everybody knows he can pick it. And I was just told, no. I was told flat out he's never going to hit. I was actually told by that people in the organization are so mystified that it was actually framed to me that they have never seen somebody miss so many good pitches and either pop them up, foul them out, foul them back, or miss them entirely and like not connect with the barrel on pitches that they deem should have been barreled up. That was from somebody in the Yankees. How about... let me get Eric on Long Island. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, BC, how are you? Love what you're doing with the show, by the way, man.
Thanks,
it's amazing
man.
To listen to.
Thanks, dude. What's up?
I wanted to talk a little bit about last night and how I'm a big Giant and Knick guy, and I think it was the perfect night, especially for the Giants. I think you did what you had to. You took Abdul Carter, and then you traded for Dart, and I think it was perfect. I think that was exactly the direction you need to go in because, realistically, the last 10 years or so, it's been miserable, you know? So I think it's definitely, it's a step in the right direction.
Right? I agree. And I got a question for you, and you sound like the good kind of personality that, I think you're a good person to ask this. So you listen to the show quite a bit, just based on your comments about the show, right? You hear us a lot?
Yeah,
all the time. Okay, we appreciate that. Now, you know where I stand on the Knicks. Like, I'm a massive Knicks fan. I love them as an organization. They're part of me forever. I just don't believe in this unit for a championship at all. Last year was more fun. The playoffs, I felt, were more fun. Did last night change for you? Because you seem like a pretty optimistic person. Their ceiling? Or are you still kind of the thought, if you ever were, that they're not going to win?
Well, I was obviously very, you know, the 0-for-10 against the top three teams, obviously very concerning.
Yeah.
So last night really showed me, like, Mikal Bridges had a very good game. And the defensive side showed, same with OG. I mean, it kind of, like, connected. It was like the starting five put together a really good game, and you saw it. And I think, I don't know if we have enough to beat Boston, but unfortunately, I do.
I think the answer is no, but keep going.
So my thing is, listen, if you do end up beating Boston.
Yeah.
You were going to beat anyone. That's my personal opinion because I think it's a mental thing that you have to get over Boston because, you know, they dominate us and they own us. It's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could beat Boston, and last night was a very good showing of what this team could be. And I think Cat played an amazing game. I think Brunson, you know, with all the chance, I think he loves him.
Yep.
I think, listen, you gotta be optimistic about your teams, and I always will be. And for every single year, I'll say the Yankees will win the World Series, and the Rangers will win the Stanley Cup, and okay. the Knicks and the Giants. And, you know, that's just how you're supposed to be, because that's the beauty of sports. You know,
I love that. I got no problem with that. Eric, you sound like a great guy. Thanks for the call. I wouldn't say that that's how you're supposed to be. I think some people are like that. I'm also not an eternal pessimist here. I think I'm a realist. Like, you know, I do think I've been a little delusional with the Jets over the years. I will have to own that, unfortunately. I think that delusion out of desperation also bled into some of my optimism. I don't mean the last year or two with St. John's, you know, kind of hyping them up when they really weren't there, like trying to convince myself. So I don't even know what kind of fan I am. I'm all over the map. I mean, you know, I was never that crazy, arrogant Yankee fan, because when I was growing up, the Yankees were not that good. So, you know, I think you get a little bit of everything with me. But because I'm a Yankee fan, I'm resilient because I've seen them win a ton, which leads me into not being, and I love them, but not like a Joe Beningo Jets fan, you know? Pretty interesting combination. Let me get Mark in Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
Hey, BT, you're doing good swinging on your own here today.
Yeah, I've done it a few times over my life, but thank you.
Okay, you're carrying the team. You mentioned a wonderful point before. It has been years since the Jets had a tight end who could catch a 4-yard pass and turn it into a 13-yard gain. I am so tired of the slow, heavy-footed tight ends we have. The Tyler Conklins, the Jeremy Ruckerts, who catch a 5-yard pass with their good hands, and they're so slow they can't turn upfield. It adds so much to an offense when you have a Sam LaPorta, let's say, and you can get first downs off your tight end.
I know.
I want to draft the best tight end that's available.
Do you have a name? I mean, I got a couple for you. I mean, do you know the tight end market at all?
Yeah, the one that
Arroyo?
I've heard.
From
Arroyo.
Arroyo, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's probably the highest rated here. The kid Ferguson from Oregon, his kid from Texas, Gunnar Helm. There's still a fair amount. I think Bowling Green has a kid. I haven't seen this kid play, but I know he's a name. Just cause I remember seeing Bowling Green, which you don't really see too much for, you know, higher draft choices. A kid Mitchell Evans from Notre Dame. I mean, there's always tight ends out there, for sure. That's why last night was very interesting, because to me, I love the Jets pick. That's who I wanted. That's who they got. Now, I would not have ranted and raved if it was Warren as the tight end, and I wanted Brock Bowers a year ago. But look around the NFL. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't any middle-round offensive linemen that obviously have great careers. Of course, there are. But I just feel like there's an abundance of tight ends. Outside of Bowers, almost every tight end that's really good, well, LaPorta has been drafted early, but almost every guy is like a second-day guy. So, you know, and Pitts is not as good as we thought he would be, much to my partner Sal's chagrin. We talked about that yesterday. You know, overdrafted at 4 years, 10 total touchdowns. But, you know, I mean, the Kelseys, guys like that, Kittles, middle-round guys. So I think that they can find somebody, and I think that they need to be possessed in their pursuit of finding one tonight. Now, I don't want to wait round 4, 5, 6 for a tight end. This is the spot to do it. There's a couple of names. I gave you a couple. Go find one of them. Get one of them. Take them.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Westchester, Joey, so they will have the ability to do that. What's up, Joe?
Yeah.
O-line is short. They're not taking a quarterback in round two. They got enough good defensive players. They're not taking a running back in round two. They got the running back. They're looking to get rid of guys. Not add guys. So I think the play, I'd be stunned, actually, if it's not a tight end.
By the time he's swinging through it.
I see it all the time. Joe, I mean, and I'm not talking about like 99, like, you know, even mid-90s, which is kind of like early, low 90s, like it was back in the day when everybody was throwing 92, 93, rather than now where everybody's chasing triple digits. Like, he's late on a fastball. Like, here's the Volpe at bat. Fastball a little elevated that he fouls back or swings through. Then there's a slider on the other batter's box that he either takes for a strike or misses by a mile, and now it's 0-2, and you're dead.
I mean, that happened in the World Series against the Dodgers.
It happens every night.
The other thing, though, I will say, if he can become a slightly above average hitter, he's worth it to keep on this roster.
I agree with that. Yes, I agree.
It's because of the defense, right? He's like a 3-4 win war player, right?
Yeah, his war was about, I think it was 3.5 or something like that last year. Yeah. Now, and by the way, Joey, if the average, thanks for the call, if the average can just get up to something that is passable, well, now his other traits, speed, can be unleashed. Like, this guy should be stealing 40 bags with the two engagements to first base and his jumps and his instincts and his straight point A to point B speed. If he hit 260 or 270, he might steal 50. Hey, you can't steal second if you're not on first.
All right, there it is, the BT and Sal call of the day. Let's get back to these calls before we hand it over to Evan and Tiki. Coming up next in a couple of minutes, 888-808-1019. Let me get Bobby in New London, Connecticut. What's up, Bob?
Hey, BT, I really love your show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Bobby. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What's up?
Oh, good. Hey, well, I wanted to ask you about the Giants, but I changed my mind. Do you think the Martian, Jason Dominguez, is ever going to live up to that hype that we heard of like 2, 3, 4 years ago?
Probably not, if you want my honest opinion, which I'm sure that's what you're looking for. Not some concocted... Probably not.
Can you give me a why on that?
Well, by the way, I'm going to give you, of course, I'm just saying that. I wasn't looking to drop you, but I'm going to get a few more calls. Thank you for the call. I will say this. I do think there's more visible evidence that he's got a chance to be a difference maker than Volpe. You know, I mean, he just does. Now, I don't mean from a defensive perspective, but from a strength speed ratio, I think Dominguez has shown some signs. Obviously, when he got called up, when he first came up and he had all those home runs starting in Houston, he just showed this easy, prodigious power. But again, the way he was hyped up, it was like a modern Mantle. I don't see that. I don't even know if we're going to ever see him in center field. And, you know, I'm not sure. I've got to see him more from the right side as a switch hitter. You know, I know he had the big double a couple of games ago, but, you know, I think he was like 1-for-20, whatever it was, from the right-handed part of the box. I am intrigued. I think that he has silenced those who didn't think he could play a functional left field, and I myself was worried, so that's a good thing. So his head's not a mess, and I just hope they keep running him out there. And I think he has a chance to be good, and I'm bullish on him. But again, the hype that was brought when I don't think anybody can hit that hype if you really think about it. But I do like him. Tony's in Deer Park. What up, Tone?
What up, homeboy? Listen, two quick points. One with the Knicks. That win did nothing for me last night except give me a ton of agita. I have more confidence in last year's team. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the Giants, I don't want to go there. I don't know if they could have waited to the 34th pick and got a quarterback. I don't know. But they had to do it. I'm glad they did it. And this saves their job for at least 2 years, I think. 2 or 3 years. This saves Shane and Dable's job.
Yeah, there's no way at that point.
Now, I didn't see him. What? We cannot see this kid. I do not want to see him on the field this year. Huh. Let those other two play. We'll get some wins.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to see him next year. I want to see him learn. Hey, listen, Russ is a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yep.
Learn what you can from this guy. And then next year, I'd like to see him on the field. I would. And I think I had to do it. And I'm happy about it. As a Giants fan, I'm happy. As a Knicks fan, all I do is stress watching these games. That last 5 minutes, I felt like went for 2 hours. My wife thought I was a mental person, but she knew who she married. She knew.
Yeah, that's well said, buddy. That's funny. I hear you on that. I like Jackson Dart. I don't know if I want to watch him sit the entire year. He might. I'm not saying that he's not. But what I don't understand is Jackson Dart has played a lot of football. Never, I'm sure you know this, but he started at USC, played 5 or 6 games there, and then it was 13-13-13. So 39 games at Ole Miss. And think about Mark Sanchez when he was drafted early by the Jets. Pete Carroll saying, well, he's not really ready. He hasn't played a ton of football. Mitch Trubisky, well, hasn't really played a whole lot of football. Like, sometimes you ignore those warning signs. Now, you could play 60, like Dorsey from Miami back in the day. I don't know why that name's popping in. Or even Gino Toretta. Like, you could play in college forever, and you just don't have the requisite skills to be a stud in the NFL. But generally, if you can run, and Jackson Dart can run, if you got a good, you know, good size body, which he does, and you got some talent, if you played a lot in college, you're going to be ready to jump in fairly soon in the NFL. So when people tell me, yeah, I don't want, you know, just let him sit down and not do anything for a year, that doesn't seem to match the recent trend. I mean, he's played a lot of football. I'm looking, you know, 45 starts, almost 1,400 attempts, you know. So that's not the kind of player that you would generally say, I don't want to see him at all this year. The kind of player you say that about is somebody that the Giants maybe, if they didn't take Dart, if they would have drafted somebody tomorrow, you know, in rounds 4, 5, 6, or 7, well, then that's more applicable. You know, we'll see. Let me get, Boogie's in Detroit. Boogie.
What's happening? Y'all all right?
What happened to your boys last night there, Boogie?
Hey, man, that was a good game. And like I called
for us, it was. Screaming.
Man, he Mr. Poke in the Eye. Come on now.
Detroit basketball.
Yeah, hey, like I told your screener, I think we both, New York and Detroit, are blessed to have our teams going head up like this. I think we have the best series that's going on right now. Big ups to you all. Series not over. I thought it was an awesome game, and y'all cannot have LaPorta.
Yeah, no, and by the way, Boogie, that place was popping for a while, man. I mean, that place, then it got quiet when the Knicks flexed a little bit. Didn't hear a whole lot. But it was loud. And yeah, a lot of the series are pretty lame. Celts up 2-0, obviously Pacers up. Now it's going back to Milwaukee. Magic won't do anything there against the Celtics. But 2-0. Lakers, T-Wolves is a good series. Luka coming off a great game. You know, I think Knicks and Pistons has been a good series.